Hello and welcome. It is so good to be with you today. I always look forward to our times together. They are a blessing to me, and I hope that they're a blessing to you, that they help you grow in your not only your head knowledge of the Lord, but in your ongoing relationship with Him, that you know more about Him and His ways, and as a result, you know Him better. Again, we're meeting inside, and I'm filming this early because of Thanksgiving. Some road work going on outside and didn't want the noise to carry through, but it's a joy to be here today. Even though it's somewhat cool and damp outside, I love this time of the year. As we do move on to Thanksgiving, I'm a week ahead as I film this, but I hope that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving with family, friends. Most of all, that's truly a time of giving thanks to the Lord. He is so good to us. But as we're here, we have so much to thank Him for today, especially. Again, our time to be together. Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible. But most of all, our Lord Himself, our Creator, our Redeemer, the one who has adopted us, the one who wants us to know Him, who has given us this time. And so let's take a moment and go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day that You've given to us, this time to be in Your Word, to hear from You. Lord, we need You in this time. Lord, we need You in our lives. Father, we need You in these days in which we live. Oh, Lord God, let us know You, Your Word, Your ways. Help us, Father, to walk with You, to experience You. Father, speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, I hope that you are having a great day, but maybe you're not. In fact, maybe you're going through a day that's filled with problems and adversities, difficulties, and quite frankly, they're increasing, it seems like, in number, in severity, in complexity, and in their consequences. And, you know, we've all heard the expression, into each life a little rain must fall, and yet it seems like you're not having a little bit of rain in your life. You're in the middle of an absolute hurricane, a windstorm, a flood. And you feel overwhelmed, possibly even like you're about to be swept away. You've prayed, but there's been no answer, it's at least not to now that you see. And it seems like the situation has gotten worse. How do we pray in those times when it seems like we're about to be overwhelmed and nothing seems to be happening? Well, this is exactly where David is as we open God's Word now to Psalm 13. And we don't know for certain the context. It could very possibly be that period of time when David was running from Saul because Saul was wanting to kill him. That would certainly make sense in these verses. But obviously, it was a time of great difficulty for David. And you think about what the Holy Spirit inspired him to write. Again, Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will You forget me forever? How long will You hide Your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say I have overcome him, and my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. But I have trusted in Your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in Your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. How do we pray when it seems like things are only getting not only bad but getting worse and we're about to be swept away and we don't see an answer yet at this time? Well, the first thing that we see from this psalm with David is the fact that we need to be honest with God. Look again at verses 1 and 2. How long, O Lord, will You forget me forever? How long will You hide Your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? We need to be honest with God about our fears, about our worries, our burdens, our hurts. We certainly need to be honest with Him about our needs, about our desires. We need to be honest with Him about the effect that these things have on us spiritually and emotionally, mentally, physically. Now, certainly we need to do it with reverence. Certainly we need to do it with that awesome respect and fear of God. But we need to, in fact, be honest with God. Our relationship with Him has got to be expressed. and the reality of what we're going through. In fact, I think this is one reason why most of us like the Psalms so much. It is a passionate outflow of the psalmist's heart. Most of them, or many of them, by David, but not all of them. But you see the passionate expression there. Whether it's joy or sorrow, whether it's excitement or fear or worry, you see the psalmist pouring it out. Now, always done with reverence and fear. I'm not taking away from that. But there is an honesty with God about what they're going through and the effect it has on them. If we're going to truly experience and encounter God, we're going to have to be honest with Him. Real prayer requires reverential, we'll stress it, reverential honesty. Listen, if you are in that time in your life right now of adversity and difficulty, meet with the Lord. Pour out your heart to Him. Pour out, you know, the situation. Pour out its effects on you. Be honest with God. But not only do we need to be honest with God, but we need to be dependent upon God. Look at verses 3 through 4. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. David is making it clear he is absolutely, completely dependent upon God. God, it is up to you. God, if you don't do something, I am sunk. God, I cannot solve this problem. You know, I'm reading the New American Standard Version. It's the 1995 edition. The editors edited it and tweaked it, trying to make it more readable for our generation, I guess you'd say. But in some ways, I like the 77 edition. And you think about those verses in the 1977 edition. Let me reread those for you. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say I have overcome him. Lest my adversaries rejoice when I'm shaken. Lest, God, hopeless without you. I love how that 77 edition brings that out. God, I am completely dependent upon you. We need, as we are honest with God, we need to have it firmly in our minds and our hearts, just how dependent upon Him we are. That's one benefit of trials and difficulties and adversities and hardships. We are reminded just how weak and frail and hopeless and helpless we really are, and how dependent we are upon God. We need to be dependent upon Him. Be honest with Him. Be dependent with Him. And then number three, be focused upon God. Again, you think about verses 5 through 6. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because He's dealt bountifully with me. You think about, what is David's focus in this? It's God Himself. His loving kindness, His salvation, His goodness. You know, so often we talk about, you know, sometimes we'll say, you know, I prayed about it, but I can't let it go. Or, you know, I've left it before God, but I take it back with me. We use various expressions like that. What we need to focus on is the one to whom we're letting it go. Our focus needs to be on Him, not on the problem or the situation. I remember one time when I was in college, the church I attended in college, they had Major Ian Thomas, the British evangelist, Bible teacher, minister, come and speak, actually a conference or a revival type, or revival, I guess is what you would call it. They didn't call it that because it was different, but with Ian Thomas, and he stated something that has always stuck with me. He made the comment that the object of faith is actually more important than the quantity of faith. I know we always get hung up on the quantity of our faith. How much faith do we have? I don't have enough faith for this, or they didn't have enough faith, or whatever the case may be. He made the observation that that quantity issue is not nearly as important as the object. When you realize that the object of your faith, what you're trusting, what you're believing in, is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise, the quantity becomes a non-issue. We need to focus on God, the object of our faith. You think, what was it that Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 1:12? I know whom I have believed. Paul is saying, I know this one. I know his power. I know his greatness. I know his glory. I know his majesty. I know his faithfulness. And because Paul knew him, he was able to trust him. The quantity of faith, well, it grew because of the focus on the object of the faith. Now, for David, the problem isn't solved, but David has a light to follow now. David has a confidence not based merely upon, you know, the amount of faith he's been able to work up, but because he knows the one that he can trust. How we need to keep our eyes on him. Now, you may be in a situation where you feel like David, just absolutely overwhelmed. Be honest with God. Pour out your heart to him. Be dependent upon God. He's putting you in a situation that it's obvious only he can help, and that's the best place to be because he's the only one who can help anyway. Everything else is just an illusion. But be focused on God, this great unlimited God. Your ability, when you focus on him, the quantity of faith takes care of itself, and he will carry you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, O God, for this day, that you are the great and almighty, sovereign, ruling God. Father, we can trust you with everything. Lord, as we go through this day, whether we know we've got major problems and issues or not, O God, may our focus be upon you. May we be dependent upon you. Be with us, we pray, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I know, again, that you're watching this very soon before Thanksgiving, or at least around Thanksgiving. I'm filming it early. But I hope that you do have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope that you do take time to remember that every good gift has, in fact, been given to us by God, and himself being the greatest gift of all in his wonderful salvation. Hope as you're with your family and your friends that you have a great time being together that's truly a day of rejoicing and a time of seeking him, praising him, and thanking him. And I hope that between now and then and the days after that, that you grow in his grace, that you know his love, that you experience his faithfulness, and that you do have a great day in him.